It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Hello there, Shauna.
Hello.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Pisscast on a beautiful Friday morning in Calgary. It's supposed to be so nice this weekend. Actual spring weather. Do you have plans?
Yeah, I'm going to Fernie. Yeah, it's closing weekend at Fernie. Very sad weekend. Always super fun because they have bands and stuff that play the last weekend. But yeah, it's the official closing weekend. So
didn't the Arkells play it one year?
Yeah.
Who's playing this year?
The Steadies this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Steadies is Earl Pereira's band, the bass player from Widemouth Mason.
Yes, it is.
And I know this just because he went to my high school in Saskatoon. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. They're Saskatoon boys, Widemouth Mason. Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Should be fun. I think we're just going to enjoy the nice weather here. Yesterday, the boys and I went out and... So, Bo's into baseball, Brigham's into soccer.
Yeah.
And I'm only one dad, but I have two boys. So, I have a baseball glove on, and I catch the ball from Bo, and I kick the soccer ball to Brigham. And
it's
then
amazing.
I throw the ball to Bo, and I receive the soccer ball from Brigham, and we just do it like that.
That's phenomenal.
So, I get my steps in, for sure.
That's good. Yep.
But, yeah, it's fun when it's beautiful out.
Oh, yeah.
On today's show, we're going to talk about a body part that apparently some people are attracted to. The rock and roll burp. You heard that right?
Yeah.
Another thing you can't look cool doing. We'll talk about useless talents. Former Calgary Mayor Nahed Nenshi is running for the leadership of the NDP in Alberta. We'll talk about the likelihood that he wins that leadership race and what that would mean in an election against Danielle Smith and the UCP.
Very interesting.
A position that exists in the Canadian government that we both got a pretty good kick out of. We'll play pro golfer or Shauna's classmate.
Yes.
See how you do on this. A wild conspiracy theory that my friend told me about. This one's a ton of fun. And we try to, well, we're going to need your help with this, but we're thinking about putting together a Beckler and Shauna drinking game.
Yes.
All of that and more after your Out of Context clip.
And just keep going. It's true.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend was telling me that he often listens to our podcast when he's pre-drinking on weekends or like getting ready to go out or something.
Well, that's fun. What
it
an honor.
It is fun. I know. And it's a nice little change from other times that people listen to us, which is early in the morning.
Yeah, or while doing chores or driving or...
Yeah. But then I got thinking about this and I was like... If you're doing this while pre-drinking, maybe you could make a little drinking game out of our podcast.
Ah.
I was trying to think of what kind of things, if that was, because I mean, obviously most people are listening to us early morning, so you're probably not having a drink unless maybe you're getting off shift work or something at that time of morning. But if you're listening to us in the afternoon or late evening like that, what could be used as a drinking game, kind of bingo card even.
Friends of the show would be better positioned to make this than
they would,
I think, because it's different when you're listening
Absolutely.
On that side of the speakers. You hear things that we don't.
Yes, yes.
Maybe we should throw this up on on social media.
We'll toss
and
it
see
out
if,
to you and see what we can get.
Any of the Venus heads want to weigh in on this?
Yep.
But
I've got a few, though, that I can think of right off the bat.
Because typically it's typically when someone makes a drinking game, it's almost kind of like... an insult to that programming, right? Because it's like, these are the things that you do too much.
Totally. Yes. And so there's a few of those.
Okay.
The first one is every time I laugh like a McDonald's straw squeaking through the top of a
That's
cup.
A good one.
That's just about every single time I speak. So that's one that you could, you may get a little too toasty though, if you use that one.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
There's the
there
straw
it is.
Squeak.
See, you have to take a drink.
Take a drink. I'm trying to, I just did it there. When I listen back, I'm in awe too much, but you couldn't make a drinking game out of that. I'm trying to avoid the word interesting.
Yeah. I know.
I
or
think
amazing.
I abuse that word. Amazing.
So do I. Amazing or awesome. Like those ones are all, like touch words.
I've tried to work in fascinating.
Yes.
Intriguing.
Yes.
Compelling.
I know.
Get the old thesaurus out and work on that.
Because, amazing, interesting, awesome. Those all come up far too much. That would be again,
crazy.
You're going to get real toasty.
Yeah.
Or nuts. Yeah. Those ones. Trying to expand our vocabulary a little bit that way.
One thing that I know a few friends of the show have criticized us for, and this is partially just because we've been together for so long now on the air, like coming up on 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
We often say, we've talked about this before.
Yes.
Because, we've done... I don't know how many thousand shows.
Yeah.
So we've talked about everything before.
We have.
At this point.
Yeah. And then when we start talking about it, but then sometimes you don't want to discredit the loyal friends of the show who you know have heard
I've
it before.
Heard this.
So then you're mentioning, you're just trying to acknowledge, yeah, we've talked about that before. For those who are like, haven't you talked about that before? That being said, a lot of people haven't heard it before, so you don't need to say that. So that's another one too.
Put that on the list.
Yeah. I mean, of course, anytime we come up with another word for an ass or a bum or a...
And then certain clips that we like to play, like
of
anytime
course.
You
check
hear,
your panties.
You gotta have a,
I mean,
you gotta
that's
have a sip
the
there.
Big one, right? Or the Lord of the Rings music when that pops
yes,
up.
Yes. Oh, that's great. I don't have that handy, but otherwise I'd swell it up right now.
Yeah, I'm glad that you don't.
Well, let's make a
that's
drinking
a start.
Game.
Let's make this happen.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend of the show, Noah, is also one of my best buds. He sent me this photo of a vehicle covered in bumper stickers all about how Helen Keller wasn't actually deaf and blind.
Oh.
So the bumper stickers, they say like, Helen Keller is a fraud. Proud Helen Keller denier. Helen Keller was not real.
That's a new one.
I'm not sure if it's just like serious dedication to a bit.
Yeah.
Or if this person is actually serious about it, but I think it's so funny.
Like, do they
so
lose
funny.
A bet and that's why they have to put that all over their car? Just so everybody can look and be like, okay, I have questions. Wow.
Just so everyone gives you a real wide berth. Because
yeah.
you see that vehicle, you're not
nope.
volunteering a conversation
like,
with that person.
We're going to steer
right?
clear. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are some really wild conspiracies theories out there that we've all heard and we all know.
Yeah.
But usually those are at least related to what's happening in the world. And you can see how someone might believe it if it helps them cope with the things they're seeing.
Yeah.
This one doesn't even make sense.
Nope. Don't understand why... Why you'd hang your hat on that? You know, that seems odd.
Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be useful.
Why?
I was talking to my friend Noah, and he said he thinks he's going to roll with this one. He's already a big Bigfoot guy.
Oh, good.
But he's like, he's going to be pro-Bigfoot. Now he's anti-Helen Keller as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I said he could use that to outflank the other crazy conspiracy theorists by being even crazier.
Yep. I see where you're going with this.
Have you ever seen that meme where it's like when someone's... You know, to outflank the crazy conspiracy theorist, and someone says the moon landing wasn't real, and you're like, "Oh, you believe in the moon?" Like you take it one step further.
Right.
You could do that with this Helen Keller thing.
You totally could. You're right.
Someone's like, "The Illuminati runs the world," and you're like, "Yeah." And Helen Keller wasn't deaf or blind. And they'd be like, "Whoa, what?"
You're right. That would stop them dead. There, they'd be like, "Okay, I'm gonna go talk to somebody else about the Illuminati."
Yeah, you're even a little too far for me.
Okay.
She wasn't. She was faking it. It was all a lie.
Okay.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Yesterday, Beckler, you mentioned that you had no idea that John Ram was a golfer.
I had never heard his name before, and he's the second highest earning athlete in the world.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't follow golf.
I don't.
Right?
And you know, we just talked about the Masters, which are underway.
Yes.
And the guy who's leading it, I'd never heard his name before either.
Fair. So in the spirit of this, and of course the Masters are going on, lots of people are a big fan of the Masters. I thought maybe we could play a quick game of Masters golfer or a person I went to college with.
Oh, I love this game.
Yeah.
I love this game.
Yeah. So I went to radio and television, university program in Toronto. So I figured this is just going to be a classic round of, is this somebody that I went to university with or a golfer?
What are some of the ones we've done in the past? There was American Idol winner or a person I went to high school with.
Yep.
Have like...
There's been a lot. I don't remember.
I forget. It was like former Canadian Prime Minister or like kid I played hockey with.
Yeah.
Because like you realize that some of these names you don't know.
No.
Okay. I'm down to play this.
Okay. Kick it off right away here. Cam Smith.
Cam Smith's a golfer.
Yes.
Okay.
Got a sick flow.
Okay. I think I've heard of him.
Okay,
because
good.
Of that flow.
That's fair. Tom Dolezal.
Radio guy?
Yeah. He was a pro skier and he wanted to become a radio host. So he was in the radio side of things, but he never spoke.
You got to do that if you're going to be on the radio.
Wrong career. So needless to say, he is not in radio anymore.
It's a pretty big part of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. He lives in Malibu, apparently, and he works for some company called Rescue Water. So that's what he's doing.
Cool.
Not in radio, though. Stephen Babcock.
I think that could be from someone from school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the lead singer of Pup.
That's where I've heard it before.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard you mention him. So.
We were in neighbors in university residence, did a bunch of projects together, and now he's in Pop. So that Jake Knapp.
Golfer?
Yes.
Okay.
He has a great, he signed with the Ducks. So he played a round of golf with the team's president. And so that's one of his sponsors is the Ducks, which is pretty sweet.
The Anaheim Ducks?
Ducks. Yeah. Which I didn't know.
A golfer
know that.
Sponsored by the Ducks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is pretty cool.
I didn't know teams did that.
No. Cameron Young.
Golfer?
Yeah. He grew up playing the same club as Rob Manfred, so part of his sponsorship is the MLB.
Oh.
So he has the little MLB logo, and he has free tickets to any MLB game. By the way, you're nailing this so far.
Five for five.
Joseph DeBenedictis.
Well, that's a tough name to have on the radio, but was he a classmate of yours?
He won 3 Emmys.
Really?
Yeah. One of them for best sports documentary, but yeah, we went to school together.
So he's a documentary filmmaker?
Yep. Yeah, and he's doing really, really
Joseph
well.
Joseph DeBenedictis?
Yeah, it's a good
That's
name.
That's a name.
Good, strong name.
Is it ever?
Fred Couples.
I know the name Fred Couples. He's a golfer.
He's the oldest person to make the cut in the Masters. 63 years old. So good for Fred. He's still in there. He's still going strong. And Calvin Dodds.
A classmate?
Yeah. He tried his hand at acting. That's what he tried to go in for. But his biggest role was him dressed as a testicle. So... Didn't go well for him. What was the project? It was a prostate commercial that he was in.
Okay, well, good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did never went anywhere after.
That was it.
Being the giant.
All I've seen is him as a testicle, and that went viral.
Was there a second testicle? was he first testicle or second testicle in the
there
casting?
There was 2 testicles, and I believe he was second. So. Beckler and
Shauna podcast. I don't know how much you know about the ceremonial workings of Parliament in Canada. Because I didn't know this until I read about it yesterday. The person who opens the parliamentary session and each sitting of the Senate is called the Usher of the Black Rod.
Okay, for some reason I've heard of this
before. You knew
that?
You knew about the Usher of the Black Rod?
Yeah. I thought we talked, but it wasn't us. No, I clearly had this discussion with somebody else after hearing the name. Because, yeah, that is the name of...
There's a similar position in the UK House of Lords.
Right.
It was called the Gentleman Usher of the Black Rod.
Oh, okay.
But then they had their first Lady Usher of the Black Rod, so they had to change the title to just Usher of the Black Rod.
Okay. That's.
And they carry this black stick, ebony stick.
What do they do with the black rod?
Well, the ceremonial stick, I guess, represents the power. And they help the speaker maintain protocol in the house. That's their role. So they
just
walk
hang
in
on to
with
this black rod.
Yeah, like in all the photos.
They just hold it?
Gripping it tight, yeah.
Okay.
And then they come into the house there, and they've got the rod and the black rod.
And then they keep the black rod with
That's
them at all
do.
Times. That is their job. So they walk in with the black rod, and then they hold the black rod, then they leave with...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. That's how do you get that position? How does one sign up to be the Black Rod?
I don't know. Our current Usher of the Black Rod is J. Greg Peters. He's the Black Rod guy right now.
Okay. Is it kind of like, you know, when you carry around the Stanley Cup and stuff where you can't let it out of your sight?
I don't know what his day-to-day
Where is the Black Rod?
Like, does he sleep with it? Does he sleep with the Black Rod?
Well, that's the question, right? Like, do you have to have it at all? Do you always have to be gripping the black rod, or is...
In 1967...
Can anybody else touch the black rod, or is it only you?
I don't know. It's like the talking stick in a
curious.
Meeting or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Don't touch it. It's mine. This is my black rod.
In 1967, the black rod was snapped in half.
Oh, that
and
would hurt.
Had to be repaired.
How big is it?
So, I don't know. I wonder if it was too big, and then that's why they... That's why they snapped it in half. But
is it a really heavy black rod that they have?
It's a good question. You can see pictures of it.
Did they make it smaller?
Just Google black rod.
Okay. I don't
Maybe
think
don't.
I'm going to do that on the work. The Beckler and
Shauna podcast. I wasn't sure how far we could take the jokes with that one. I figured I would allow you to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
But I think the best joke...
It was right there.
...that we got from friends of the show on the text comes from Mike. Mike said, anybody can touch the black rod, but you need to have its consent first. At one point, there were 5 black rods and all handled by one person. There's a historical documentary of it on the internet. Just remember to turn save search off. Oh, you win, Mike. That's better than anything I have.
Nailed it. Nice yeah. Nailed it.
If only we could enlist everybody as the writers of this show.
Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast is brought to you by Shane Holmes. I'm on Shane Holmes' website right now and just taking a look at some of the homes that they offer. You can start by like choosing your community, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, Airdrie. Because I think that's kind of typically how people begin their home searches.
Yeah.
Because like
of the quadrant that you want to live in, I guess.
Yeah, because your life is in probably in one quadrant in the city. At least that's how it was for us. We kind of knew we wanted to be in the south. There's some beautiful places in the north, but we, you know, didn't really know anybody up there. And so
yeah.
We're like, okay, well, We'll start here. So you can do that with Shane Holmes. Let's say you wanted to live in the Northwest. Well, they have the communities of Hambleton, Glacier Ridge, the Hamptons. And then from there, you can take a look at the type of home you're looking for.
Yeah.
Whether that's a front drive home or a lane home, paired home. You can choose, set like your square footage parameters, and it'll spit back all of the floor plans that they offer within those parameters. And of course, you can then customize those floor plans from there with their affordable customization. So it's a really slick tool if you enjoy homes or if you're actually thinking of building or buying. Check out ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I ran into Nenshi, former mayor, Ned Nenshi.
Yeah.
The other day. It was funny. We were just having a beer on my birthday, and he walked in, and there was this NDP convention that was happening. And I posted this photo of us just together, and I was asking on social media yesterday, I said, genuinely, do you think that he has a shot to become the leader of the NDP?
And what were the responses?
Well, a lot of people who are like, well, I hope not, or that type of thing. But I think there are quite a few people who will say he has a good shot, whether they want him to or not. And I'm genuinely curious about that because personally, from where I stand, I think he has a good shot of actually becoming the leader of the NDP.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see any of the internal party polling that the party would have.
No, we don't.
But I do know that, you know, based on the fact that Racky Pancholi withdrew almost as soon as Nenshi entered the race and said it's because he was like crushing it on membership sales.
Yeah.
Membership sales is one of the big things that they look for. Mm-hmm. I know even when Pierre Poilievre won the conservative nomination, like his membership sales were insane.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that can be an indicator of how well even a candidate will do in the wider election.
Well, and I forget what the stat was, but didn't you say he like, was it doubled or yeah, like tripled membership immediately yeah, when he came in? And she was just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm out.
He brought a lot of support with him when he announced his candidacy. So
yeah.
I mean, again, without seeing any of their numbers, I assume he's the front runner for party leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I think an even more interesting question is if he does get leadership of the party,
yeah,
would he be able to defeat Danielle Smith and the UCP in the next provincial election? And that's a long way out, so it's hard to say. Lots can change.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's going to be a really interesting election, though, if the two of them are up against each other.
Well, it's always a bit of a chess match because if you look at the map of Alberta,
yeah,
typically Edmonton votes NDP.
Yes.
Rurally votes conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And Calgary can kind of go either way. So it basically comes down to whether or not you think he would garner more support in Calgary than Rachel Notley did.
Yeah.
Because I thought Rachel Notley was a fairly strong leader.
Mm-hmm.
But would Nahed do better? I don't know.
It's really tough.
I don't know.
I was talking to some friends about this, and this is what we were kind of just going back and forth, right? It was like, oh, it'll be really interesting to see. There's no really clear answer to that.
Yeah. I have a WhatsApp group with a bunch of my buddies, and quite a few of them are plugged in politically.
Yeah.
And it's a big debate right now whether or not Nenshi could win
mm-hmm.
if he were the leader of the NDP. So I don't know. I mean, I know like by the end of his term, his time as mayor in Calgary, there were people who weren't real happy with him.
Yes.
But that was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the current council's approval ratings are even lower. So does that make Nenshi look better in hindsight?
And that seemed to be the big discussion, right? A lot of people who were saying, you know, criticizing how he was as mayor toward the end of his term. On the other hand, going, well, but what we have now, we don't like either. So
he also wasn't defeated as mayor.
No. Nope.
He stepped down. Or he decided not to run again.
Yes.
So
I know.
Yeah. The next election, if Nenshi is the leader of the NDP, will be a heater of an election, I think.
Yeah. It's crazy how, and maybe it's just that I pay more attention, but as I get older, it seems like these elections are getting more and more intense.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, the last provincial election was very close.
Yeah. And that's it. They always seem to be these really, really close elections where people are like, it could go either way.
Yeah. So would Nenshi be the tipping point?
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My mom messaged me. She was listening to the Career Day interview we did earlier this week with our friend, Dr. Ryan Yao.
Yeah.
Who's an ophthalmologist and eye surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to that interview. I think it was a good one. It was on Tuesday's podcast, if you go back.
Yeah.
But my mom texted me and she said, it's really not fair that people like Dr. Yao have so many gifted talents. My only talent is being able to walk a long way.
I mean, that's a good talent.
Is it, though? I mean, both of those things you said are true. Like, Yao just has so many skills, so many interests.
Totally.
Good at so many things.
Yeah.
And then my mom, she can walk a long way. She's not kidding. That woman can walk. Well,
the days of hunter-gatherers, that would be a very beneficial thing to be able to do.
If we lived in a society where we still did persistence hunting, my mom would be lights out.
She'd be winning.
But we don't anymore. Fair. So, well, I mean, she saved on gas a bit because she...
I mean, it's healthy to keep walking a lot. So there you go. You know, that's good.
It's not the most useful talent to have in Canada in 2024 when we all have vehicles. Mm-hmm. If your talent is for something that society values highly, though, you've lucked out. Right? If you have an aptitude for anything STEM, you're going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other skills which are great, but might not get you anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
do you have anything like that, Sean?
What we do for a living, really. It's really this or bust. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, being able to.
And thankfully, there are still people who value it.
Luckily, yeah.
But, I mean, if you're born at a different time, right? Like, there was a time when, like, radio hosts could make crazy money.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
But then I wonder if I was around then, if I would have been as interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. It'd be a lot more competition, I suppose, back then.
Any other skills that you have, Shauna, that fall into either one of those buckets? That you could...
I play the fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that's valued, you know? It's more of a hobby than anything else. Like,
there aren't many people willing to pay big, big money for fiddle playing.
Just one solo fiddleist up there. You
right.
Know? No. So, yeah.
I used to be able to guess a bra size just by looking.
That's really impressive, yeah.
Then they went and changed all the sizes, and now I can't anymore.
Even do that anymore. No. That's sad.
But again, there wasn't a whole lot of value in that. There wasn't a whole lot of avenues for making money.
I mean, you and I have a penchant for coming up with other words for an ass.
Again.
I don't know what...
Not a huge demand for that at the moment.
No.
But who knows? I mean, things can change. Things can change.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Here's another thing you can't look cool doing, Beckler. Chasing a dog that got away. We witnessed this firsthand yesterday, and even funnier because it was a tiny little dog.
The tiniest dog.
And it was right by, so obviously it had just gotten off its leash or whatever and was right by its owner. His owner's trying to track this little rat dog down.
He had two tiny dogs and the smaller of the two, the even smaller one got away.
Yep. Bigger dog, a little bit different because then there are some strength to those dogs. And sometimes like, they can overpower you. And at that point, it's a little bit different. But when you're chasing down a little rodent, you can't look cool doing that.
Kind of bent in half. It's not unlike chasing a ping pong ball that's getting away.
No, it's true. Or for that matter, just kind of chasing any rodent or anything that you're trying to track down. Anything little that's chasing. Yes, you can't look cool doing that. Like, you know those... You know those videos of the poor police officers who are trying to, like, get a pig that, say, escaped off somebody's farm or something as well, trying to chase after something like that, and then you basically have to full out, none of that. You cannot look cool doing any of that.
You've already got this tiny little dog, and it's gotten away.
And you're trying to, tackle it down.
And kind of panicking a little.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You are, yep.
Teacup!
Yep.
Teacup, come back here! No, Teacup! Stay out of traffic.
Princess?
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I know you said you were watching that show on Netflix, Loudermilk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just finished it the other night, too. Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
If you haven't seen it, it centers around a former music journalist who is a recovering alcoholic and runs a support group for other recovering addicts in Seattle. So because of his job as a music journalist and the fact that it's set in Seattle, music plays a big role in the show. And in the second to last episode, and there's no spoilers here, the penultimate episode, right? That's the correct word. Isn't it, Sean?
Yep, good use
etymologist.
Of that. Mm-hmm, it's good.
There's two characters that are having a conversation about music. Music that you like immediately versus music that takes a little while to grow on you.
Which we talk about lots on the show.
Yeah. And when they were having this conversation, I was like, oh, that sounds just like what Shauna and I have said on the air. So I'll just play this clip for you of these two characters talking.
I never understood why anyone would want a listening party in the first place, right? Because if your album's great, if it's original, fresh, new, it's not going to sound good the first time.
I won't allow it unless it's just the people who worked on the record who already know it. Remember the first time you listened to Radiohead or Dark Side of the Moon? Not
Arcade
good.
Fire. Okay, first time I heard Funeral, it was like, what the is this? You know, and after the 6th, 7th, 8th listen, it's genius.
Yeah, the great stuff your brain has to get used to because it's not wired for it yet. Or on the other hand, if it's average or not original, it might sound good at first.
Yeah, so that's my litmus test now is, you know, if I like it on the first listen, then it's probably only so good.
That is hilarious. I remember listening to that conversation and being like, yeah, we talk about this so much. Yeah.
When we add new music on the station, if like the first time we play it, we're like, whoa, what's this?
Yeah.
That typically tells us that the 40th time we hear it, we're going to be sick of it.
It's so weird how that happens. If you really like it the first time, it burns way quicker and then you kind of get sick of it faster. I don't know why that is, but
I'd never thought of it in terms of how the female character in that clip describes it. Basically, the great stuff your brain isn't wired for yet. If you love it right away, maybe it reminds you of something that you already like. Maybe it isn't that original.
Totally.
But if it's something that you kind of have to take a little while to wrap your head around, maybe that is something that's great.
We as humans we hate change. So when you immediately you want to reject anything that's different. You don't ever want to accept it at first, but then as you get used to it, it's almost, like you have to massage your brain into it, right?
Absolutely. And I know even like when a radio station programs its playlist, unfamiliarity is a killer.
Yep.
Right? If you play a bunch of songs in a row that people don't know, it's not
people
good.
People tune out.
Because people typically want to hear stuff that they know or that they're somewhat familiar with, they're comfortable with.
The comfort level,
It's the same with when you go to a live show, you want to hear the songs you know from the band. If you're programming a playlist for a party, you got to put on songs that people know and can sing along to.
Yep.
So we have to be very careful with like what new stuff we introduce you to.
Yes.
And then that like immediate reaction, do you love it immediately or does it grow on you? Maybe that is because, maybe that is because your brain isn't ready for it yet.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was listening to a song yesterday, Beckler, and I swear there's a burp in this song, and I've heard it a few times, and now that I've heard what I think is a burp, I can't unhear it. And it sounds like at some point this dude's singing and then just leaves this burp in. And I have it for you so you can hear it for me. I don't know if you'll hear it right away, but here's the song, okay? It's called The Pursuit by Minnow. Just listen to it. It was right there. Now it's kind of hidden, but hold on. I'm going back to it here. Do you hear that?
I do. I think it's just like a vocal style.
So,
because he goes like that, right?
Yes, but it's just so distinct that I'm like, I don't know, man. Is it overlapping with just a burp into the vocal style? Is there a burp in the song?
Was he talking through a burp like dads do?
Honestly, that's a dad bash.
I know. I saw that on the internet one time where someone's like, when you're becoming a dad, you start talking through burps.
Yes, very true. You just let it go. And just keep going. It's true. I then, though, did kind of think about the rock and roll burp.
Is that a thing?
Have we ever discussed the rock and roll burp? Is there burps that are left in songs?
I can't think of any.
I did some digging and there are some.
There are.
I'll just play a couple here. They're normally, though, at the beginning or the end, I find, of a song.
Okay.
And then they leave them in for the song and on the album because I don't know why. They feel like Metallica, Die Die My Darling, right at the...
Oh.
Right there. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And then you jump in the song.
Yeah. Wow.
But here. That was a burp that they intentionally left in that song. So there you go. A rock and roll burp.
I wonder whose burp it was.
The rock
like,
burp.
Was it James Hetfield? Like,
I'm imagining
kind of clearing his throat
before he went in. And then they were like, yeah, you know what we want? That really adds to the song. That right there. Aerosmith, Eat the Rich at the end. Real pronounced burp.
Oh, man.
That's like, there's no mistaking that is Steven Tyler with the most obnoxious burp ever. And then again, somebody made that stylistic choice to leave it in.
Interesting choice.
Even rarer, and this one also exists in a few different songs, is the rock and roll fart.
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, so I only have one example because I'm not going to start just playing farts. I'm not going to go off and play farts on the air here. But this one is Big Buns, Grand Funk Railroad. I've never heard the song before, but there is a very lovely one right at the end here.
Big Buns, so tight.
Just wait for it.
Oh, man.
That is
that's the tightest pooper I've ever heard.
It really is.
What note is that?
And then they're all laughing about it at the same time. But there's a bit of a leaky blue. So there's also the odd rock and roll fart. So here's, we've learned a lot today, guys.
The decision to leave that in, hey?
I know.
Like you're listening back. Yeah, yeah, keep that in there.
Yes, yes.
I like that. Uh-huh. It's an artistic choice.
And again, there are several more examples of this that you can come across if you really look into it. So,
but this radio show is too highbrow for that.
We're,
so
you know,
you're
going
to have to find that on your own.
Three is good.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
McKenna's sister was staying with us for a few nights this past week, and we were all watching TV together one night. This guy came on the screen and she said, oh, he's hot. Look at that thick neck.
Oh.
And that was a new one for
Strange.
Me. Strange. I've never heard a man complimented on his neck before.
No. I mean, we talk about John Horgan's neck and how he's got a neck on him.
Former Premier of BC, John Horgan.
Yes,
what a neck.
We have commented on some necks that way. But no, not something that I normally look for.
That was going to be my next question for you. Are we into necks, Shauna? Is neck something you notice on a man? And
I mean, if it's particularly fat, yes, I will note it, but that's about it.
It was, this guy didn't have like a freakishly thick neck.
Okay, weird.
He just had a thick neck.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like a tree trunk, right? Like it's a good solid trunk on the guy. I guess that's what that means. I'm not, nope,
you just
never.
Want to throw a tire swing on that
that's,
thing?
Or yeah, it's not high up on my priorities what okay. I look for when I meet a man.
Okay, I was going to ask where it ranked.
Oh,
but it
good,
sounds
strong
like quite,
handshake, nice what, smile. Where's your neck at, though? Nope. What size is that thing?
What's your shirt collar?
Yeah, what are you in the...
You do
in a white shirt, a dress shirt.
I've started doing neck at the gym.
Oh.
And it's ridiculous. It's the most absurd looking exercises.
Yeah, why is it, you heard this, you're like, well, better work on my neck
now. Wanted to thicken up the old neck, and it's pretty important, right? Mm. Your neck is a pretty important part of that whole system.
I suppose so.
With your head and your posture and everything, but...
I mean,
you don't look cool working neck, let me tell you.
You now have a bald head, so if you thicken up your neck real good, then you could just be a full-out thumb up there, right? Just all
that's what
one.
I'm going for.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just straight up with your face. The lines all one. Oh, thumb Beckler.
Thumb look. Very
look
sexy.
At that.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna download it daily to whatever device you use. Later.